Hello and welcome to Split Second, presented by ZerkOps. I am Sean Whitfield. Joining me is the co-host and owner of ZerkOps, Tammy Zerk. Hello, Tammy.
Hi there.
Well, I am looking forward to another edition of Split Second. And before we get started, you have just been going nonstop. Every time I talk to you over the last couple of weeks, it is almost like 24/7 for you.
It feels like it too. I'm so tired.
For those that are listening, and you obviously can't see us in the studio, I got her with a Monster Energy to give her a little bit of a bolt of energy because she is just going nonstop. She's not had much rest lately, so we've got to change that.
I'm working on it.
Disconnect for a day or part of a day, and just, you know, take some Tammy time.
Just hide.
Yeah, for sure. Well, today we are going to talk about a topic that's a hot topic going on around the state of Tennessee, and we're going to call that constitutional carry. So, Tammy, what does that mean to people?
This is the new law that was passed in July of this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people have maybe a little misconception about it. So I just want to kind of touch base today and walk through, what is the constitutional carry? What does it mean for you on your just daily basis? And what changes came with it? So that's what we want to cover.
Before we get started, Tammy, does this just apply to the state of Tennessee, or does this apply to other states as well?
It is just for the state of Tennessee, for our residents.
Okay.
And it is for residents only, so anyone outside of the state of Tennessee coming in with a firearm would still need to have a carry permit from their state.
Okay. All right. Let's break it down.
Okay. So first off, just saying that ZerkOps, those of you who know us, we are very pro guns. We want everyone that's sane and physically able to actually be able to have a gun. We are pro Second Amendment. Our big thing is, we want you to be trained to safely handle and carry your handgun. And that's our main focus, especially today with this new law being passed. So when we're talking about constitutional carry, what exactly does it mean, and how does it apply to you? So when they pass this new gun law, it says basically that anyone over the age of 21 can open or conceal carry a handgun without a permit in the state of Tennessee. This also applies to the active and honorably discharged veterans 18 to 20 years old. Because we know that in 2017, they passed that law that said that included our active and honorably discharged veterans 18 to 20 that could get a carry permit in the state of Tennessee. So now it also, that is included in the constitutional carry.
So I want to make sure that everyone listening is clear. So I'm going to sort of dumb it down in the Sean way of dumbing it down. You take somebody like myself. I've virtually had no experience with guns. I don't own a gun. I've never had any gun training yet. That is yet. I'm going to be doing that very soon. Matter of fact, we're going to set a date, Tammy. So with all of that considered, I could go to, say, Bass Pro Shop and buy a gun over the counter. As long as I had a clean record, I could buy one, and I could walk out the door carrying it in my pocket, and I would be perfectly legal.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. There are lots and lots of people with zero gun training that are going out buying guns right now and carrying guns around, and they do not how to know use. They don't know how to use it safely and correctly. We have a lot of people that come through our carry permit classes and even our basic handgun classes now that are already carrying a gun on them, and we've had people in there that have their ammo loaded backwards in their magazines. So that's a big concern, because if someone has a gun on them standing beside me and they're trying to defend themselves and me and my family, I want them to be trained enough to actually hit the bad guy and not me and my family. you know, or to not hurt themselves with it.
So this new law, you are not in favor of?
I am, but I prefer training with it, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're very pro everyone that is of sane mind and trained, knowing how to handle their gun safely. We are very pro everyone being able to have a gun and defend themselves.
But you would prefer people be able to do this, but it be a requirement before you are able to, that you have some sort of certification of proper gun training. Is that would be your preference?
I would feel safer, and I've got a lot of feedback from people saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a statement made a couple years ago. Someone had asked, you know, are we pro Second Amendment? Well, of course we are. Absolutely. We do our best to train everybody we come across, Sean.
I know. I'm certainly the poster child for that one.
Yeah, and because we made a statement of we like for people to be trained, mm-hmm. we were criticized for that. You know, and that's fine. That is your opinion. This is our opinion. But if you're defending your family or someone else is defending your family, I'm sure you want to know that they can hit the bad guy, not your child. Mm-hmm. You know, that is an important detail. And when you see so many people coming through that, they don't know how to hold the gun, where to put their finger, which direction to point it in, what really happens when they pull that trigger, how to load your, you know, cartridges into your magazine and cycle it into your chamber. You know, that's huge. If you don't know how to do that part right there, that's simple as it gets. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of scary sometimes.
Your husband is a member of law enforcement. You have communications with a lot of people in law enforcement. How does the law enforcement community overall, what's their opinion of this new law?
They, like I said, they are along the same lines as we are. I mean, from what the feedback I get is mm-hmm. They are pro everyone having a firearm to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, even if, like, I know there's a big move now that all the rumors and all the things going around, they want to take guns away. Taking guns away from the good people just means that the bad people have even more guns. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With no one to restrict them. The police, I receive so many recommendations, people being sent to our classes by the officers. They will pull people over. They will be in different, like, domestic violence situations, just all different kinds of situations. They are sending people to us to get gun training and to help them pick out a gun. So that's the way they look at it. They are very pro everyone having one that can legally have one. As far as constitutional carry, I mean, I know that they like for people to also be trained. I mean, obviously, it's just safer. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I sort of felt like that was the answer you were going to give me, but I would think, too, that law enforcement's got to have the feeling as they're out there doing their job that they have constantly always got to be on guard, that whoever they pull over or whatever call that they have, say it's a domestic violence situation or something, that they've always got to be on guard that that other people are going to have a firearm.
And I mean, just simple.
And I guess that's just a normal way right. of life for them.
I mean, I tell people in classes, you know, it's simple. Them walking up to the side of your vehicle when they pull you over, you acting cool and calm and hands on the steering wheel, that is great for everybody mm-hmm. because they have no idea what to expect when they walk up to your window. They don't know what's waiting on them. And, you know, they've already seen their friends and their loved ones and their coworkers, you know, shot or killed, injured, different things like that. So, of course, they have to be very, very cautious and nervous. Of course, you would be nervous walking up there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is there any fine details about this change in the law that we should share with people?
Yes. So the penalties for all the gun thefts have increased, right? Making them a Class E felony instead of a Class A misdemeanor. So this was an opportunity to change gun laws. They enhance the charges if someone actually, like, steals a firearm from your motor vehicle. And these sentences for the gun theft, they increase from a minimum of 30 days to 180 days confinement. It changes the licensing requirements for handguns only, but it does not apply to any long guns, any rifles, or anything like that.
And this is was all led by the leadership of the governor.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And like I said, I don't want to send a message that we are against this at all. We are not. We think that right now, standing up for people's gun rights, that's a huge thing in the United States. It's everybody needs to be doing it. That's a right that you do not want to lose, but that a lot of people are trying to take. So I just think that when we're standing up and we're making those choices and those decisions, that they need to be smart. Constitutional carry, great. But if you are going to bring a gun into your life, carry it on your body, around your family, have your family members involved in it, then you know what? Everybody just jump into a basic handgun class, or have a friend that is gun savvy, show you the safety rules, whatever. Just be proactive in making sure everybody's safe in handling it.
We're going to take a quick break. Our topic today is constitutional carry. We're going to continue that conversation when we come back. For Tammy Zirk, I'm Sean Whitfield, and more Split Second presented by Zirk Ops to come after this brief message.
If you have turned the TV on in the past year, then I don't have to explain the importance of learning self-defense. Here at Zirk Ops, we offer classes for all ages, children, juniors, women only, co-ed, and seniors. All of our classes are handicap friendly. No matter your age, size, or physical fitness level, we have a class for you. It is important that you know how to defend yourself exactly as you are. Check out our classes at zirkops.com.
As we continue, I am Sean Whitfield along with Tammy Zirk. Our topic of the day is constitutional carry. Tammy, a question that I have, I am a Tennessee resident. I have just purchased a gun. I have it in my possession. I'm driving down the road and I'm headed to Publix in Fort Oglethorpe. What happens? Am I illegal? Am I legal to carry into that Publix, or am I illegal? What do I need to be aware of?
Okay, so that being said, now with the new constitutional carry, a lot of businesses are changing their viewpoint on people carrying guns into their business. Since there's no training involved, a lot of them are now prohibiting guns altogether, or they're restricting it by carry permit only. So, and we've actually done classes with businesses that they want to know, how does this affect us as a business? What can we do? What can we not do now if we don't want untrained people bringing guns into our buildings? So that's a concern for business owners. I don't know about Publix specifically,
right,
but if they do not have any kind of not prohibited or restriction, then you would be fine to carry it open or concealed in the building.
What if I am in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, and I'm traveling on Battlefield Parkway, and I've just been pulled over for speeding?
If you're in Georgia and you're a Tennessee resident, you still have to have a handgun carry permit to cross a state line with your gun. So you would be illegal and probably in trouble.
Would I be arrested?
Most likely. A lot of times that depends on the officer, mm-hmm. whether they give you a warning, confiscate your gun, give you a ticket, take you to jail. That's, I don't know all the Georgia laws.
So each state has their own individual laws. So whatever happens to me, if I'm in those situations in Georgia, if I go to, say, Huntsville, Alabama,
it'd be different.
It'd be a different situation, possibly.
Right. Each state has their own gun laws. And, I get a lot of questions in the carry permit classes. So if you have a handgun carry permit and you're going to cross a state line, you go and you look and see which states reciprocate my handgun carry permit, which states allow me to carry my gun legally into their state. And then you have to go a step further. It's not just do they allow me, but what do they expect me to do with my gun when I come into their state? you know, maybe they're okay with me having it loaded in my front seat. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want it in a holster underneath the seat. Maybe they want my gun and ammo separated in my trunk. So you need to find out what are their specific requirements to, you know, based on your state. Now, just because you think something is common sense does not mean everybody else thinks that's common sense. Like for us, we always teach that every time you have your handgun with you, it needs to be in a safe holster with the trigger guard covered, right? That helps prevent accidents. There's a couple states out there that when you go through, if you have your handgun in a holster underneath your seat, they consider that illegal that you're trying to hide it from them. But if you have it out of that holster underneath your seat, they consider that legal. That's an accident waiting to happen. I mean, if you just reach under there and grab that gun, you know, you might grab that trigger. So just be careful and read the details when you're talking about reciprocity with the states you're traveling through.
Say, for example, I'm a trucker. I'm a truck driver. I may travel 10 or 12 states a week, you know, going to pick up freight, delivering freight back. And I always have a gun in my possession. Is there any kind of permit or that's universal from state to state that I could get? Or how do I know whether I'm legal or whatever state I get pulled over in that I couldn't possibly be arrested?
You don't always know that. Like, for instance, let's say you have a Tennessee handgun carry permit, the enhanced version. So it has reciprocity with most states. I think it's like 36, because some states, they don't have reciprocity with anyone. Mm-hmm. So you would know which states you're traveling through that your handgun carry permit will keep you legal. It's those states that you are not legal in that's the issue. And let's say that you're going through a state that does not honor your handgun carry permit. So then they want you just... Federal transportation guidelines is you would separate your gun and ammo into separate locked containers, and they would be out of reach of the passenger compartment where you cannot reach it. Now, there are some states, I think like New York, that it doesn't matter. You can't have a gun in your vehicle, on your person, anything when you're traveling through their state. So that's just something that you have to decide.
Well, you know, the example I used of a truck driver, wouldn't you think that it's a pretty fair assumption that majority of the truckers driving up and down the interstates today have some sort of handgun in their cab of their truck?
I would think so, because they encounter a lot of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But the truth is majority of those trucking companies, from what I understand, prohibit them from having a gun in the truck with them.
Really?
Yes. Huh. So it, a lot of times it's based on that company. And I don't know. I think it's a scary thing for all those guys out there, ladies and gentlemen, that are driving those trucks.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truckers out there that are independent truckers. They're contract, you know, truckers to a freight company. And so I would think a lot of those men and women would be carrying guns. And I don't know. I was just curious, because I could see where certain people would be more apt to have a handgun traveling from state to state than just somebody that's only doing it if they're going on vacation, maybe.
Right. And I think that is a smart thing, because there's a lot of crazy things in the world today they encounter. One of the questions we get a lot is, can I fly? Can I take my gun on the plane? Yes, you can. Actually, it has to be, the gun and the ammunition have to be in two separate locked boxes, containers, hard-sided containers, and you are the only one allowed to have the key or the combination to that box. You have to check it. It has to be in checked luggage. It cannot like be carried on the plane with you. It has to be in your checked luggage, but it is perfectly legal to do that.
Interesting. I didn't think you could even get a gun near the front door of an airport.
No, you're allowed to do that. You can fly with it. It says, like in our PowerPoint for a handgun carry permit, it says talk to the, seems like it says the pilot or something, which the, you don't bounce up in the cockpit trying to talk to the pilot. You just check it. When you check, do your check to luggage, it's already in there. That's.
Do you have to declare that you have a weapon in the luggage when you check it in, say, with Delta at the front desk?
Yes, because obviously they'll be scanning it. Otherwise, they'll be calling you back.
Okay.
So,
is there anything else that we should let folks be aware of that's in regards to this constitutional carry law that has just recently changed in the state of Tennessee?
No, all the basic laws still apply. Nothing else has changed. So where you can, where you can't carry, when they had your carry permit, is the same with those laws. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, as far as I know, this has not changed. Let's say you're working for one of the universities. And if you are working for a university as an employee and not a student, you can get a handgun carry permit and you can actually carry your firearm with you, but it has to be the enhanced version that has the most training. Mm-hmm. They don't accept just the concealed carry with the, you know, 90-minute video training, and the constitutional carry, as far as I know, is not accepted.
For someone out there listening that says, okay, I can legally do it, however, I know the wisest thing for me to do is get proper training. With that decision being made, they give you a call at ZERCOPS. What kind of class do they need to be signed up for? How much of their time will it take out of their busy schedule? That type of information.
And I know that's the tough thing, is how much time. We have a basic handgun class, and that is a three-hour class that takes you from ground zero all the way through out into the range, shooting your handgun and putting all the training into practice. So that's the fastest, easiest way to get the most training. If you still want to get a carry permit because you want to travel with your gun or business, whatever, then that is the handgun carry permit. And, of course, on our website, it's zercops.com. You can see our full schedule, and it has, we have days, weekdays, week evenings, weekend classes. So not hard to find those.
So all that information's at zercops.com. What kind of cost, or say average cost, would it be for someone that wants to participate in one of these classes?
And both of those classes are $65.
Okay. So it's more than reasonable, and it's not going to take much time out of your busy schedule for somebody to sign up for this class. Actually, $65 is a very small investment to make sure that you're safe and you're handling a firearm properly, because not only could it save someone's life, but it could save one of your loved ones, somebody in your family.
You know, one of our biggest concerns, Sean, is that people do not know the gun laws. Mm-hmm. We have so many people coming through the class that they do not understand when they can use deadly force. I mean, you can't defend anything with deadly force but a human life. So your house, your car, your pet, those are all considered property. So you cannot use deadly force. You cannot just take your gun out and point it at someone unless it is a justified cause that you can legally pull that trigger. Because otherwise, that is considered aggravated assault, which means you're the one in trouble. So there are a ton of laws that we cover in that permit class that people are shocked about because they had no idea.
So this proper training could not only keep you out of trouble from being arrested, but also keep you out of jail or out of prison.
Absolutely.
So it is certainly a very small price to pay, because the last thing you want to do is find yourself standing in front of a judge in a courtroom and in shackles being sentenced to so many years in prison because you made a decision or you made a choice, and it was obviously the wrong choice, and it's because you didn't know any better.
Right. And unfortunately, in court, when you say I didn't know, that's not a good defense.
Yeah, you definitely need to know your rights.
The big thing in those our presentations is that it is your responsibility 100% to know all the gun laws that apply to you and what they, you know, what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah. All right. Any final words before we wrap up today's podcast, Tammy?
No, I mean, I think we covered majority of those bases. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. The podcast, we're going to be having quite a few guest speakers on there covering a lot of different subjects. So I'm kind of excited about those coming up.
That sounds great. So folks, be sure and keep this podcast in mind. We are going to have a lot of great guests, as Tammy just said, and we look forward to sharing with all of you out there listening a lot of great information that's going to be beneficial to yourself and also beneficial when you're trying to protect your family. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Split Seconds presented by ZercOps. Go to the ZercOps Facebook page for any suggestions or comments about today's podcast. Be sure to click on the subscribe button for all future podcasts. For Tammy Zerk, I'm Sean Whitfield. Thank you for listening.
Business owners, are you looking for something cool to do as a team building exercise for your employees? ZercOps does this on a regular basis. You can customize your session to your specific group. Check us out at ZercOps.com.